Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh is off today. There are a lot of things happening in South Dakota when it comes to agriculture, whether it's an ag panel discussion, cattle with anthrax, or just making sure that your animals have up-to-date health certificates. Joining us today is Dr. Dustin Otakovin. He's South Dakota's state veterinarian. He's also the interim ag secretary. Dr. Otakovin, welcome back to In the Moment.
Hi, Chris. Thank you.
All right, let's begin by talking about this ag panel discussion that took place this week. It was attended by Senator Mike Rounds, correct?
Yes, yeah, and actually Senator Rounds and the South Dakota Soybean Association hosted this roundtable, and there were a couple dozen leaders from across the state, and very good time for discussion on the issues of the day. So, we had topics ranging from the CRP acres and how that may fit in with the Farm Bill discussion, immigration reform, and support for funding for a more robust foot and mouth disease vaccine bank. But probably the biggest discussion, or the topic of most discussion, was trade and how the trade war is and tariffs on agricultural products are affecting South Dakota producers' bottom line and ability to make a profit or even just to stay in existence.
Okay, I have a couple of points there. We'll get to the first one. You mentioned CRP. Can you touch on what CRP is for those that don't know?
Yeah, that's the Conservation Reserve Program, whereby landowners can enroll those acres for conservation purposes. And, I think there's a discrepancy in the Farm Bill now, whether or not between the two, a version of the Farm Bill has been passed in both the Senate and the House. And now there's a conference committee that will work on that together and determine what the final outcome may be. But the numbers are ranging from 24. There's a discrepancy between those two versions of whether or not we should have 24 or 29 million acres in the Conservation Reserve Program. So there was some good discussion on that, as well as these other issues I mentioned.
So let's talk about the tariffs now. Is this affecting South Dakota farmers already, or is it going to, or is it, like I said, has it started already?
I would say the general consensus of what we heard around the table yesterday was that it is affecting South Dakota producers now. And certainly there's a potential for a more damaging long-term effect. There was a general agreement consensus, I should say, among those that were visiting yesterday that ag producers would rather have available markets, fair markets for their products and earn the money that way rather than take advantage of a USDA aid program. And so that aid program that was announced by USDA recently was also discussed. It's a $12 billion support package for agriculture. It would be administered through three different programs, and the rules for those programs have not yet been finalized. They're being drafted now, and USDA has an ambitious rollout date, I believe, of around the first part of September. But those three programs very basically would be a market facilitation program, which would provide direct payments for producers of soybeans, sorghum, corn, cotton, dairy products, hogs and wheat. And so that would be one aspect of it. And another program would allow USDA to purchase excess commodities, commodities that would otherwise have been exported, were these tariffs not in place. And then finally, a new market development program, which is somewhat yet, undefined. So again, I think the feeling around the room was in general, this aid package is probably not what everybody wants. They'd rather have access to markets. And yet the aid package is essential at this point to keep producers in business. But there's a recognition that, a longer term solution is needed very soon.
So as a person sitting in that room, I'll ask you this final question on this particular topic. What was the biggest takeaway from that panel discussion from your perspective?
Again, in probably the biggest takeaway was that that there's a need to do something soon to reestablish trade with our trading partners. There's frustration over the fact that we don't have some of those trade programs that were being discussed, such as the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The fact that we have to renegotiate NAFTA every 5 years, some of those type of things were discussed, and there's some frustration over that. Trade to our agricultural producers is very important to their existence. We're a net exporter of many of those products, and we need to have access to markets to be able to make a profit and stay in business and keep ourselves for the ag industry viable.
I'll give you a moment to switch hats if you're just joining us. Our guest today is Dr. Dustin Otakovin. He's the state veterinarian for South Dakota. He's also the interim ag secretary. So now you're going to put your state vet hat on. So let's touch real quickly on the anthrax outbreak. And can you explain what this is exactly, as it's more than likely not the same as what we humans know to be anthrax, correct?
Well, it's the same bacteria, but the concern is probably a little different than what we hear of. Many people think of anthrax in terms of a bioterrorist agent. In livestock production in South Dakota, we have anthrax cases, not infrequently in South Dakota. They typically occur in grazing livestock in the summertime during periods of high heat and either drought or during periods of flooding. And I think that's more likely what we've seen this year. The anthrax bacteria lives for a very long period of time in a spore form. It's a protected form that protects that bacteria from drying and sunlight and those type of environmental conditions, which would otherwise kill many other types of bacteria. So because of that, it can exist in the soil, in the alkaline soil, or the low acidity of our soil helps preserve that bacteria. And then during these climatic changes, such as flooding, the spores are moved around and exposed to the surface where grazing livestock come into contact with them. And at that point, the animals can become infected. And so we have had seven cattle herds identified with anthrax infection this year. Clark County, Hanlon County, Bonham County, and just most recently out in Butte County. So pretty widely ranging geographic area. And it just goes to reiterate that we have a difficult time predicting when and where those cases will occur, but much of South Dakota is ideal for anthrax.
But if these animals get vaccinated, I assume there's a vaccination for this. So these animals went unvaccinated. Am I onto that? I mean, they can not get this if they're vaccinated. So I guess my point.
Yeah, you're correct. There is a vaccine that's highly effective and it's fairly inexpensive. And we do encourage livestock producers to consult with their local veterinarian about using anthrax vaccine in their herds as an annual vaccine. And typically what we find is those herds that become infected have not vaccinated those animals. It is a little bit, as a producer, it may be a little bit difficult to continue to do that if you never have a case. And we do have a fairly low number of cases each year. So if you're not directly affected or your neighbors aren't affected, it's kind of easy to, perhaps become complacent or not consider vaccinating for anthrax every year. But typically the first signs of anthrax are just a number of dead animals. They don't exhibit a lot of illness before they die. And so many of these herds have experienced death loss of 10 or more animals all at once. And so the economic effects are devastating. It's just a reminder to have that discussion with your veterinarian and consider using the vaccine to protect herds against anthrax.
In the few minutes we have left, let's talk about the importance of keeping those health certificates of animals up to date, especially now with fair season underway.
Yeah, there are a lot of county fairs, county youth exhibitions going on, a lot of rodeos, really fun events that are important to the culture of our state. And it's just a good time to remind folks that when you're traveling with livestock, including horses, across state lines or to any public exhibition. You need to have your certificate of veterinary inspection. Many people call those health certificates. It is evidence that a veterinarian has looked at those animals and given them an exam, an inspection to be sure that they're not exhibiting signs of contagious infectious disease. And that's one of our first tools in trying to prevent the spread of infectious disease is by ensuring those animals that are moving across state lines and to exhibitions where they're concentrated with other animals are clean and healthy. It's not a guarantee, but again, it's kind of that first line of defense. And so we encourage everyone to consult with your veterinarian on those.
We actually have some time to talk about something I read about not too long ago, that there's an invasive tick species that's been found in 7 states along the eastern seaboard, actually in heavily populated areas of New York City. What do people like yourself and the experts know about the Asian longhorned tick?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting scenario, and maybe I say that while people tune out, but because bugs maybe aren't interesting to everybody. But this tick is it was found on some sheep in New Jersey last year, and actually a woman had found sheep on herself after she had sheared some of these sheep, and it was then identified by Rutgers University. And as they continued to look for this tick, they found it in other species as well on pets such as dogs and cats, and also other livestock. And so it's a tick that's capable of living on many other types of warm-blooded animals. And probably most concerning, it is capable of carrying a number of exotic diseases that we do not have in the United States. There are diseases which occur frequently in some of the Asian countries where this tick is more at home. And so the tick's been identified now in 8 different states, mostly eastern states, but as far west as Arkansas. And so it is a little concerning. The good news is it seems to be controlled quite well by the normal products that we would normally use on our livestock and pets to control ticks. And so if nothing else, it's a reminder to consider tick control or parasite control in pets and livestock as well.
Dr. Dustin Otakovin, he's South Dakota State Veterinarian. He's also Interim Ag Secretary. Dr. Otakovin, it's always a pleasure to have you on In the Moment. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great day.